When the guns of the First World War fell silent on November 11, 1918, much of Europe seemed to exhale after 4 years of exhaustion, hunger, grief, and industrialized slaughter. Church bells rang across Allied capitals, crowds filled the streets, and newspapers announced the arrival of peace with a kind of desperate release. Yet the armistice that ended the fighting was not the same as a settlement that could secure the future. The battlefields of France and Belgium were still scarred with trenches, shell holes, bones, barbed wire, and poisoned earth. Millions of soldiers were dead, millions more were wounded, and entire societies had been shaken by sacrifice on a scale unknown in previous centuries. The old world of the 19th century, with its dynastic empires, confident diplomacy, and faith in progress, had been shattered. What remained was a wounded continent searching for justice, revenge, security, and meaning. The peace that followed would be written in elegant rooms, debated by statesmen, and signed with ceremony, but beneath its formal language lay fear, anger, and unresolved contradiction. The Treaty of Versailles, signed on June 28, 1919, was meant to close the most destructive war Europe had ever known. Instead, it became one of the most controversial settlements in modern history. To some, especially in France and Belgium, it did not punish Germany enough for the devastation of war. To others, especially in Germany, it was a humiliating diktat, a dictated peace imposed by victors who spoke of justice while practicing vengeance. In later years, after the rise of Adolf Hitler and the outbreak of the Second World War, the treaty would often be described as the seed from which the next catastrophe grew. That judgment is powerful, but incomplete. Versailles did not make another world war inevitable by itself. Rather, it created a fragile order that depended on cooperation, economic stability, political courage, and continued Allied unity. When those conditions failed, the treaty's weaknesses became openings through which nationalism, resentment, and dictatorship could advance. To understand Versailles, it is necessary to begin with the ruins of 1918. The German Empire, once Europe's most powerful military state, had collapsed under the pressure of blockade, battlefield defeat, internal unrest, and revolution. Kaiser Wilhelm II abdicated and fled to the Netherlands, leaving behind a nation stunned by defeat and uncertain about its future. In Berlin, a new republican government emerged, later known as the Weimar Republic, because its constitution would be drafted in the city of Weimar. This new Germany inherited not only the burden of defeat but also the anger of millions who had been told for years that victory was possible. Many Germans had not seen Allied armies marching through their streets. The fighting had ended while German troops still stood beyond Germany's pre-war borders in parts of Europe. This fact allowed a dangerous myth to grow. That Germany had not truly been defeated on the battlefield, but had been betrayed from within by socialists, liberals, Jews, and revolutionaries. The so-called stab-in-the-back myth would later become one of the most poisonous ideas in German political life. Meanwhile, the victorious Allies did not enter the peace conference with one mind. The war had united them against Germany, but peace revealed their competing interests. France, led by Georges Clemenceau, wanted security above all else. France had suffered invasion in 1870 during the Franco-Prussian War, had lost Alsace-Lorraine to Germany, and had endured the agony of the Western Front from 1914 to 1918. Large areas of northern France had been devastated. Factories, mines, railways, villages, farms, and churches had been destroyed. To Clemenceau, Germany was not an abstract problem but a physical threat just across the Rhine. A weak Germany meant a safer France. A rebuilt and resentful Germany meant future invasion. For this reason, Clemenceau sought harsh terms, territorial guarantees, reparations, and limits on German military power.